In a statement released in June 2011, the British Psychological Society complained to the APA that the sources of psychological suffering in the DSM-5 were identified as located within individuals and overlooked the undeniable social causation of many such problems. This was in addition to a flood of protest from American professionals, including leaders of the American Psychological Association and the American Counseling Association. Why are relationships or social conditions left out? If you pay attention only to faulty biology and defective genes as the cause of mental problems and ignore abandonment, abuse, and deprivation, you are likely to run into as many dead ends as previous generations did, blaming it all on terrible mothers. The most stunning rejection of the DSM-5 came from the National Institute of Mental Health, which funds most psychiatric research in America. In April 2013, a few weeks before DSM-5 was formally released, NIMH Director Thomas Insel announced that his agency could no longer support DSM's symptom-based diagnosis. Instead, the Institute would focus its funding on what are called Research Domain Criteria, known as RDOC, to create a framework for studies that would cut across current diagnostic categories. For example, one of the NIMH domains is arousal modulator systems, meaning arousal, circadian rhythm, sleep, and wakefulness, which are disturbed to varying degrees in many patients. Like the DSM-5, the RDOC framework conceptualizes mental illnesses solely as brain disorders. This means that future research funding will explore the brain circuits and other neurobiological measures that underlie mental problems. Insel sees this as a first step toward the sort of precision medicine that has transformed cancer diagnosis and treatment. Mental illness, however, is not at all like cancer. Humans are social animals, and mental problems involve not being able to get along with other people, not fitting in, not belonging, and in general, not being able to get on the same wavelength. Everything about us, our brains, our minds, and our bodies, is geared toward collaboration in social systems. This is our most powerful survival strategy, the key to our success as a species, and it is precisely this that breaks down in most forms of mental suffering. As we saw in Part 2, the neural connections in brain and body are vitally important for understanding human suffering, but it is important not to ignore the foundations of our humanity. Relationships and interactions that shape our minds and brains when we are young and that give substance and meaning to our entire lives. People with histories of abuse, neglect, or severe deprivation will remain mysterious and largely untreated unless we heed the admonition of Alan Shrouf. To fully understand how we become the persons we are, the complex step-by-step evolution of our orientations, capacities, and behavior over time requires more than a list of ingredients, however important any one of them might be. It requires an understanding of the process of development, how all of these factors work together in an ongoing way over time.